Okay, today is Thursday, November 18th, Yud Dalet Kislev, and we are going to be doing Like Mother, Like Daughter. We're going to learn a little bit about Leah and continue on to Dina. I have, in my classes, you can tell I have a little bit of agenda in terms of how I want the women to be presented, and I've tried to be fair in presenting some of the other views from the sources, the Makorot. But this time, I did not, because I'm not going to give air to victim shaming. So you'll see what I mean when we get to Dina. So I wasn't very fair, and I only highlighted those sources that I liked. Okay, so we're going to go back to last... Oh, I didn't share my screen. Hi, Monique. Okay. Okay, everyone can see? Okay, so we're going back to last week when we first met Rachel and Leah. This was one of the sources that it was really hard for me to skip last week because this is one of my favorite sources. So we met Rachel and Leah, and it says, Va'enei Leah rakot, and Leah's eyes were soft, v'Rachel haita yafat toar v'fat mar'eh, and Rachel had beautiful features and a beautiful complexion. Okay, so before we go into the sources, I just have to tell you my favorite joke among the medieval commentators. So this is the Ibn Ezra, and he brings in a different commentator whose name is Ben Ephraim. Okay? So Ben Ephraim, this guy who's the son of Ephraim, thinks that this is a mistake in the Torah, and we don't really know what rakot means. What does it mean to have soft eyes? So Ben Ephraim says it's chaser aleph. It's missing an aleph. So if you put an aleph in front of this word rakot, you get the Hebrew word arukot, aruch, long. So I hope this doesn't sound racist, but maybe like Asian eyes Leah had or something. She had long eyes. So Ibn Ezra does not like that explanation at all. And he says about Ben Ephraim, Ephraim starts with an aleph. He says, hu chaser aleph. He should be missing an aleph. So if you took the Aleph away from his name, Ephraim, it turns into Parim, which means bulls. So it turns from the son of Ephraim to the son of bulls. And then I was discussing this with Rabbi Schmidman, and he gave it an even deeper understanding that Aleph, if any of you have ever done a Hebrew ulpan, where you learn Hebrew intensively, so Aleph has a connotation of learning. It means, in modern Hebrew, it means a studio, but it has this learning studio issue. So it's not just that he should be missing the actual letter Aleph, but hu chasar Aleph, he's also missing learning. He doesn't know anything. So it's a double entendre for his name. So this is how the medieval commentators have fun. Okay, so...
I can't believe that they were worried about complexion those days.
Yeah. Well, they had more things to worry about in those days when you think about complexion and you think about all the horrible diseases like smallpox and things that would really harm people's complexions.
Okay.
So then we have Targum Onklus. So Onklus was from the turn of the millennia. He translated the entire Chumash into Aramaic, mostly word for word. And the rabbis say he did it with divine inspiration. So when he doesn't do word for word, we really have to pay attention. And he was a convert. He was the nephew of Titus, who destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. So it's a very unusual family line. So if you can follow the Hebrew, you see Ve'ene and Ve'ene are the same. Leah and Leah are the same. And then instead of Rakot, he says Yayan. We'll translate that in a second, but I think you could figure it out if you continue. Rachel is the same. Haita, Havat is the same. Yafat, Shapira. If you didn't know, Deborah, that's your husband's Hebrew name, Shapir, right? So so that means beautiful. And the same as Yafa. Toar is the same. Vifat, Mar'eh. So... here you see Onklus has beautiful as Yaya, which you see is the same word. So Onklus is translating this word Rakot, which we know it means soft. We know it doesn't mean beautiful, but he's translating it with divine inspiration as beautiful. Leah's eyes were beautiful. but we just didn't know it. Why didn't we know it? Because as Rashi tells us, based on the Midrash, she expected to fall into Esau's lot, and she wept because everyone was saying, Rebekah has two sons and Laban has two daughters, the older daughter for the older son and the younger daughter for the younger son, based on the Gemara and Baba Batra. So Leah had beautiful eyes that she had somehow destroyed their beauty because of her crying that she didn't want to marry Esau. Okay, so Onkelos here, by describing them as beautiful, is telling us what's hidden, what we don't see on the outside, but what is true on the inside, that Leah also had beautiful eyes and that she cried all the time because of what she thought was going to be her destiny. Now, it kind of goes two ways. When Yaakov took Esav's bracha, when he had Esav sell the bechora, the birthright, and then again when he took the bracha, Yaakov was, in a sense, setting himself up to marry both Rivka, Rachel and Leah. Because it might have been that Leah was meant to marry Esav, the older to the older, the younger to the younger. In which case, Esav would have been stepping into his responsibility of the material and political support of Yaakov, and Yaakov provided the spiritual support. But Yaakov took both aspects of that onto himself, and as a result, he had to marry both women. But it might have also been coming from the other side, from Leah, that her davening was actually effective, and she didn't have to marry Esav. Okay. So now, the birth of Dina, also from last week's Parsha. So it says, V'achar yalda bat v'tikrat shma Dina. So this is unusual wording, the way it's introduced. You can see from when Yosef is born, v'tahar v'teled, and she conceived and bore a son. So Leah never conceived Dina. She only gave birth to Dina. So this is where we get the we get the Midrash. It says, and Leah passed judgment on herself and said, 12 tribes are destined to descend from Jacob. 6 came from me and 4 from the maidservants. That is 10. And if this fetus, meaning when she actually conceived, and the conception is not mentioned in the pasuk, only the birth. So when she conceived, if this fetus is male, my sister Rachel will not even be the equivalent of one of the maidservants. Immediately the fetus was transformed into a daughter, as it is stated, and she called her name Dina, meaning she named her after her judgment. So unlike the male tribes, where we're given an explanation for each of their names, we're not given an explanation for Dina. So this Midrash is filling in the blanks of A, why it doesn't talk about conception, and B, why it doesn't give an explanation for her name. So this is because she actually conceived what would then be Yosef. Rachel conceived Dina, and the fetuses miraculously switched. One of the sources that I did not include about Dina place her outgoingness, because we're going to see how Leah and Dina are both outgoing, place Dina's outgoingness on the fact that she was originally conceived as a male. So therefore, it made sense that she would be more outgoing. I didn't include that one, but just wanted to mention it. Okay, so then this is not our topic, but I just wanted to include this because I think it's so beautiful that this is a Midrash that said it wasn't just Leah who davened for Rachel that she should have a boy, but all the matriarchs assembled and prayed. Kol ha'imahot, we have sufficient males, let her, Rachel, be remembered. So just women uniting together for other women. Okay, so now we're on to this week's Parsha. So this is right before Jacob wrestles with the angel, which we're not going into. But it says, Vayakam balailahu, he arose during that night. Apparently there's a very interesting midrash on the fact that it says hu and not hahu. I forgot what it was. Chaim Seiman was telling me about it. Vayikach et shtei nashav, and he took his two wives, ve'et shtei shifchotav, and his two handmaids, maidservants, Vet echad asar yeladav, and his 11 sons, Vayavor et Ma'avar Yabok, and he crossed the ford of the Yabok. Now, we just read about Dina's birth. We know he didn't just have 11 sons. So the Midrash asks us, I'm doing the English just because we have some big Hebrew texts to do. So his 11 children, and where was Dina? He placed her in a box and locked her in it. He said, that evil man, meaning he's about to meet Esav, right, has a high eye. He should not see her and take her from me. Hashem said to him, trigger alert, by one who withholds kindness from his friend, from a pasuk from Eov, you withheld chesed from your brother that you placed her in a box and you did not marry her to that circumcised one. Now I want you to just think about it because we're going to see a source that says this explicitly. We know Esav wasn't the greatest, right? But we also know that nobody else outside of Avraham and his progeny were the greatest. But in fact, Avraham sends Eliezer to his not the greatest family in Padan Aram to find a wife for Yitzchak. And then Rivka tells her son Yaakov to flee to Padan Aram, to who we know is definitely not a good guy, Lavan, to find a wife for himself, where he finds Rachel and Leah. So they're really, we have to sort of change our mindset about Esav to a certain extent, that he and Yishmael and his children are the only circumcised people in the world right now. They're the only descendants that come from Avraham that would have grown up in a household like Avraham's household, like Yitzchak and Rivka's household, that there might be some sort of spark in Esav that we've ignored all this time based on our conditioning. So you did not marry her to that circumcised one. That's quite a statement. By your life, she will be married to an uncircumcised one. You did not request that she marry by way of something permitted. Behold, she will be married through a forbidden action. It is written, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, went out. From where did she go out? From the box. And now this is even more interesting and deserves even more study, which we're not going to spend time on, but plant it in your brain. What's the word for box? It's a teva. The word teva only appears twice in the Chumash, and one of them is Noah's ark. It says here, and she went out, and it says there, and Noah went out. Just as there it is from a box, so too here it is from a box. So the only other time teva is used in the Chumash is with Moshe. His little basket is called a teva. So this teva is some sort of way of preserving humanity or preserving the Jewish people, that Noah was in a teva and Moshe was in a teva. And now the Midrash is telling us also that Dina was in a teva and that she went out. So this Midrash also, who's being punished in the rape of Dina? And here we have to let go of our 21st century feminist sensibilities and put ourselves in the ancient world, that when a girl, a young girl, was raped, the view of who was being punished was really on the father of that girl. So Hashem is saying, Yaakov, you should have allowed her to be taken by Esav, which is such a crazy notion. And because you didn't, she's going to have this horrible experience, which is a punishment for you, Yaakov, for not letting her marry your brother, for denying her. You withheld kindness from a friend. Okay? So then this Midrash says basically the same thing, but the end of it is very different. Midrash Tanchuma. If she had been married to Esav, perhaps she would have converted him. And the Midrash, you can see right underneath this, it's actually more underneath it, we'll get to it later, that she was actually the second wife of Eov, of Job. So in the story of Job, he loses his property, his children, his wife, and he maintains his faith in Hashem. And at the end of the story, it's a happy ending. He marries again and has more children. So according to some rabbis in the Talmud, the second wife that he took was Dina. And it says, did she not convert him? Meaning Dina had this impact on Eov. There's a debate among the rabbis. We'll see it whether he was Jewish or not and when he lived. If he lived during the time of Yaakov, obviously he wasn't Jewish, since there were no Jewish people then except for Yaakov's family. So according to that opinion, that Dina married him, that he was from that time period, then she would have converted him. Therefore, you withheld her. Behold, a cursed man came before her, and Shechem, son of Hamor, saw her. So more evidence of the power of Dina. Okay, and then this is Rav Avadya Mebartzanura, who's a super commentary on Rashi. So Rashi brings in the Midrash that we read, that Yaakov was punished for hiding Dina. So her 11 sons, and where was Dina? Until Yaakov was punished because he withheld her from his brother. Kashe. The Rav Avadya Mebartzanura says this is a difficulty. Adarabba, on the contrary, Hashem should have thought that Yaakov was pretty great for protecting his daughter from Esav. Right? Why was he punished? Shaman Amiyad Rashab, that he withheld her from the hand of a wicked person. Yesh Lamar, we can say, She Yaakov L'ra'a Nitzkaven, that Yaakov actually had malintent, that he didn't have good intentions in hiding Dina and simply protecting her from his wicked brother. Shelo Haya Rotze She'achiv Yatzadik. He didn't want that Esav would become a righteous person. Kidei Shelo Yitzkayem Bo Birkat Hove Gvir La'achecha Ulafiha Ne'anash. So that the bracha, that he would rule over his him, that the stronger one would rule over the brother, and therefore he was punished. So we're also seeing in this source this idea that Dina has a certain power over men and might have brought Esav back into being a tzaddik, and that Yaakov, and I can't believe somebody actually said this, was actually threatened by that idea, and that's why he hid Dina and withheld her from his brother Esav. Crazy, right? Okay, so now, Emet Liakov, which I don't think I wrote the biography. I apologize for it. This is Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. This is the father of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, just down the street from where most of us are sitting, almost all of us are sitting, and his commentary on the Torah. So he quotes Rashi again, V'dina hechan haita, where was Dina? Nitna b'teva v'na'al b'fanaha shelo yitin ba'esav enav. So he put her in a box so that Esav couldn't look at her. L'chak ne'anash Yaakov sheman'a me'achiv. And therefore Yaakov was punished because he withheld her from his brother. Shema tachzirana l'mutav. Maybe she would have brought him back to be good. V'nafla b'yad Shechem. And therefore she fell into the hand of Shechem. Kol ha'mefarshim tamahu. All of the commentaries are wondering. Mahatana Yaakov, why is there this complaint on Yaakov? So it's a similar question to the Bartanura. V'chi hayalo lehafkir et bito l'rasha? Should he have just made his daughter available to this wicked man, bito? Kazeh? Kamo Esav, like Esav? Aval kad nayan bezeh? Once we look into this, nir'eh shebe'emet mi haya bedor hazeh tov yoter? Who was better for Dina in this generation? If you really look into it, this is what I mentioned before. And then there's Yiddish. Does anybody know this first word in Yiddish? The second word is mensch. Abasara mensch. I don't know. Anybody know the Yiddish? I don't know. Me'esav. So who really in that generation would have been a better match for Dina than Esav? V'hare matzinu. And we even find betimna. So this is at the end of our parsha when we get a genealogical list of all of Esav's descendants. We learn about this woman, Timna. That she married, as she didn't marry, she became a concubine to Eliphaz, Esav's grandson. And not only that, but who is her son? Amalek, our arch enemy. Okay? So we only see her in this genealogy, but she's the mother of Amalek, and she's simply a concubine. And it also seems, based on the princes and princesses, and it goes into a whole thing, this genealogy, that she may have been royalty in her non-Jewish nation. So the rabbis say that she, well, we'll read it here, Sheratzta lehinasei lebeit Avraham, she wanted to marry into the household of Avraham, ukishelo zachta lehinasei leYaakov, and when she didn't merit to marry Yaakov, because the house of Avraham rejected her and said no, Az bachra b'sheinilo. Then she chose second to the house of Avraham, which was Esav. So Timna, and the rabbis are pretty harsh on Avraham for rejecting Timna. And they say it's a result of that Amalek came out of her. And we actually have similar stories in the Gemara about Jesus, that Jesus was rejected by a certain rabbi or felt rejected by a certain rabbi, and that's how Jesus became Jesus. So there are these stories of how we have to be very careful about who we turn away and who we reject because of what can come out of it. As we see, Amalek came out of Timnah. So, Vehare Esav nit gadal bebeit ham shel Yitzchak and Rivka. Esav grew up in Yitzchak and Rivka's household. V'yuchus lav milta zutrahi. And yichas is no small matter. So who you're related to does matter. Dehare matzino be'Avraham avinu. We find with Avraham shehikpid sheYitzchak yisa isha rak mibeit Nachor or Yishmael, that he only wanted Yitzchak to marry somebody from the house of Nachor, his brother, or Yishmael. So again, going back to how I opened it up, we're just kind of changing our view of who Esav was and what he represented. And when you think about who was out there to marry Dina, he might have been the best option. Ve'od nira lomar al pi ma sheheveti b'reish haparasha et divrei hamalbim. I don't know, I didn't look at this, sorry. He brought in the words of the Malbim at the beginning of this parsha. Sheyakov hiskim lasot shitafot nitzchit beino levein Esav, where Yaakov had agreed to do some sort of eternal partnership between him and Esav, uka'ain hashutafut shaita ben Yisachar v'Zevulun, ayin sham, which would have been similar to the partnership that was between Yisachar and Zevulun. And this is a famous partnership. These are sons 5 and 6 of Leah, sons 9 and 10 of Yaakov. And Zevulun would go out into merchant ships and support Yisachar materially. And therefore we can see if Yaakov, and again this is based in a Malbim, I don't know, and I didn't read it, so I don't know how he does it, but you know I love the Malbim. So Yaakov therefore must have thought that Esav was not completely wicked if he was willing to go into this partnership with him. And according to his system, he should have at least tried to bring him a little closer by way that he would see Dina and marry her. Meaning Yaakov could have been part of this redemption of Esav to becoming a better person by allowing him to see his daughter and then marry her. And we can even add from this Gemara that we learn in Bava Batra, there are those who say that Eov lived in the days of Yaakov. So this is where we learn about Eov and Bava Batra, and that is the next source I have if you want to just skim that in English while I read this. V'dina bat Yaakov nasa, and that Dina, the daughter of Yaakov, was the one who married Eov, Job. V'kulhu t'nai svira lehu. And this is all the Tannaitic rabbis, they reason, de Eov mi Yisrael hava, that Eov was from Israel, Levar, except for those who say that he was from the time frame of Yaakov, in which case he was not a Jew. Hare she'af sheman al Yaakov mi Esav, even though Yaakov withheld Dina from Esav, mikom akom besofo shel devar lo rak shelo nis'al echad mi zera havot. In any case, at the end of the day, it wasn't just that she married somebody who was outside of the progeny of the forefathers, not related to Avraham or Yitzchak or Yaakov at all, Ela le'echad mu'umot ha'olam, but rather some random guy from the nations of the world. Harei shelo nizhar Yaakov kol kach. Therefore, Yaakov wasn't so careful b'mi she'isena, with whom Dina would marry. Otherwise, he would have insisted that he marry somebody from the line of Avraham. And despite that he wasn't so careful, he withheld her from his brother Esav. And this is the big claim against Yaakov and why he was punished. It's really like opening up whole new perspectives about what Yaakov did and who he was. Okay, so now the famous line. Vatetze dini bat Lea, asher yaldal Yaakov lirot bivnot ha'aretz. Dina, the daughter of Leah, whom she had born to Yaakov, so you can already guess there's going to be a lot of questions about all those details, went out to look about among the daughters of the land. So notice even in the English they add this word among, because the Hebrew says be benot ha'aretz. You would expect it to say et benot ha'aretz, in which case the English would say to look at the daughters of the land. So there are commentaries that say she was the only daughter among 11 brothers. this doesn't accept the midrash that each of the tribes was born with a twin daughter, a twin sister, and that she just wanted to see how girls her age lived, and she was curious, and that's why she went out. So Rashi there says, and not the daughter of Jacob. However, because of her going out, she was called the daughter of Leah, since she, Leah, too, was in the habit of going out. As it is said, and Leah came forth toward him. We're going to look at that in a second. From the Midrash Tanchuma. And concerning her, they devised the proverb, like mother, like daughter. Okay, so now here's where we get into sort of a split among the commentaries. Like mother, like daughter, good. Like mother, like daughter, bad. So I did not include the bad ones. So here's the context of Leah going out. So this is Reuven, Leah's son, brought Leah these mandrake flowers, judaim. And according to some commentaries, they were known for having fertility effects, these flowers. They're called mandrakes. They're usually translated as mandrakes in English. And if you look at the root of a mandrake, it actually looks like a person. You can Google it, the root of a mandrake. And Rachel hadn't had children yet, so she asked for them. And Leah, in exchange for giving her the mandrakes, the Dudaim, said, I want Yaakov tonight. It's my turn with him. So here it says that Yaakov came from the field in the evening. Leah came forth toward him, Vateitse Leah. And she said, you shall come to me because I've hired you with my son's mandrakes. So this is quite assertive behavior. He slept with her that night. And God hearkened to Leah, he listened to her, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. And this would be Yisachar and then Zebulun. It might be the opposite order. Veishma Elohim et Leah, so Hashem heard Leah, Shaita mit'ava u'mechazeret laharbot shvatim. She desired and was seeking means to increase the number of tribes. Meaning, she went out, she was assertive, aggressive with her husband Yaakov for the sake of heaven, l'shem shamayim, in order to increase the number of tribes. So when we say, like mother, like daughter, we have to assume to a certain extent that Dina also was l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven. Okay, so now we have the Imre Amet, who I included in the biography, was a Hasidish Rebbe. So Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem. So he's commenting on when he arrived in Shechem, so before Dina went out, this commentary is from. Yaakov ba legalot malchut shamayim. Yaakov came to reveal the kingdom of heaven, Shechem. So a lot of things happen in Shechem. Some not so great things happen in Shechem. The kingdom's actually split between Rahavam, the son of Shlomo, and Yeravam, the rebel who created the northern kingdom of Israel. That happened in Shechem also. So Shechem, this word Shechem, which is modern-day Nablus, if you didn't know, Roshei Tevot, it is an acronym for Shem Kavod Malchuto, the holy honored name of his royalty. Okay, so Shin Kaf Men, Shem Kvod Malchuto, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Le'olam Ve'ed, right? We all say that right after the Shema. Ulam Hem Bilbalu Gam LeYaakov Et HaShabbat. They confused for Yaakov Shabbos. So this little teaching that we're going to learn here is within a bigger context of the importance of Shabbos and how all the Avot kept Shabbos, but we're ignoring all of that because we're just looking at this little gem. So he's quoting some sefer, Pri Etz Chaim, that says, Vateitze Dina bat Leah v'gomer, and Dina, the daughter of Leah, went out, lirot, to see, lirot v'nir ata, to see and be seen. Dina gamken ratzta legalot nitzutzot hakdusha. Dina also wanted to reveal the holy sparks. Okay? Ita b'sfat emet, and then he quotes the Sfas Emet, another Hasidish Rebbe, Alma di ita v'gemara v'avodah zarah, what's written in the Gemara and Avodah Zarah. And this is a story in the Gemara that two rabbis are walking and they come to a fork in the road. One side is going to a worship place of idolatry and the other side is going to a brothel. So they have to choose. They need to get somewhere. They can choose either path. Which path do they want to choose that they're going to have to pass by? An idolatrous temple or a brothel? So one rabbi says, let's pass by the temple since we have no desire, Hashem has destroyed our desire for idolatry. That doesn't exist in us anymore, and then we'll be safe. And the other rabbi says, no, let's go past the brothel, and that way when we resist, we'll get a reward. So in the story, they go past the brothel, and the prostitutes, out of respect for the rabbis, go back into their building so that they're not tempted at all. So not only do they get reward, but the prostitutes probably also got reward for showing respect for the rabbis. So it's a crazy story. Hainu lehotzi yetzer hara shelahem. So the rabbis actually, in their honor, took away the evil inclination, I think maybe, of the prostitutes, lachnis bahem ruach tahara, to bring into them this pure spirit. Ulam zehu kvar mechama ve'al inyan ze amru, mishu machnis atzmo lezira, o nitzoach o notzeach, v'zeh lirot v'nirata. So he's saying, once you go into the arena, this is from a midrash, you'll either kill or be killed, you'll either succeed or lose, is how it is. And so here they won, and it's saying that Dina was putting herself into the arena of the greater world, but for this holy mission of revealing the holy sparks. So in Dina's case, it didn't have such a good ending, but that's the context he's putting her in, that she's following in her father's footsteps, who wanted to reveal God's kingship in this place of Shechem, and Dina also wanted to reveal the holy sparks in Shechem, and that's why she went out. Okay, and now the Be'er Mayim Chaim, another Hasidish Rebbe. I included his biography. Vateitze Dina, lirot bebnot ha'aretz. So she wanted to see the daughters of the land. Lashon bivnot ha'aretz, tzarich havana. We have to understand why it says in, or as we translated it before, among the daughters of the land. V'hayalo lomar lirot et bnot ha'aretz. It should have just said, she went to go see the daughters of the land. V'hanir'ah ki hine chazal amru, so the rabbi said in the midrash, talaha katuv b'lea lomar ki'ima kibita. We can understand it by understanding this expression, like mother, like daughter, with Leah. Malea yatzanit, just as Leah was outgoing, as it's written, v'teitze Leah likrato, Leah went out to greet him. Afzo yatzanit, this too also is an outgoing woman. U'lecha'ora yipaleh. At first glance, this is actually quite wondrous, like questionable. Halo noda omram zal she'afila b'gnut b'heimat me'ah lo diber hakatuv. Alma zeh yichtov hakatuv b'kivun bat le'ah lehrot gnut hatzadeket. So he's quoting Gemara and Pesachim that I think is talking about when all of the impure animals came to Noach when they were entering into the ark, and they're not called impure. They're not called tameh. They're called lo tahor, not pure. So we say that we don't want to use negative language for anything as Jews. So that's why it doesn't use the word tame, impure. It says lo tahor. It says not pure. So he's saying, this rabbi, the Be'er Mayim Chaim, is saying, if we're not even willing to speak badly in negative terms about animals, all the more so, why would we speak in negative terms about the daughter of Leah to show her, to put her in a negative light of this righteous woman of Leah, right? It doesn't make sense that this would be negative. And we also know that Leah had only heavenly intentions. That she was intending to build up the tribes of God. Zal, and as we heard from the rabbis, which we read already. Ve'umnam adaraba, it's the opposite. Ki chazal ba'u lomar shetala ketuv lomar ki ima bita. Chazal are telling us, like mother, like daughter, klomar kishem she'ima v'day nitkavna l'shem shemayim, just as the mother for sure, we know 100%, intended for the sake of heaven, kain bita l'shem shemayim nitkavna. So too did her daughter intend for the sake of heaven. Kinoda ma'amram zal, because we know from that the rabbi said, v'pasuk breishit, v'eta nefesh asher asu b'charan. So this is something we actually looked at a few weeks ago from Parshat Lech Lecha. the souls that they made in Haran, talking about Avram and Sarah. Avram migayir ha'anashim, v'Sarah migayir ha'tanashim. Avram would convert the men, and Sarah would convert the women. V'alken ratzta gam hi lachoz v'tarchei avoteha kedoshim. Dina also wanted to grasp onto the ways of her holy forefathers, ligayer gerim, to convert non-Jews, mi benot ha'aretz, from the daughters of the land, lehachnisam tachat tzel kanfei ha'shechina, to bring them under the wings of the Shechina, of God. Lizel mar katuv, and that's why the pasuk says, v'teitzei Dina bat Leah, and the daughter of Dina, Dina, the daughter of Leah, went out, klomar b'yitzi'ah zo haita bat Leah mamash. That is to say, in this going out, she was truly the daughter of Leah, la'asot kema'aseh ima, to do the actions of her mother, latzeit l'shem shamayim, to go out for the sake of heaven, ve'al kin hacha lirot bivnot ha'aretz, and therefore she went out to see in the daughters of the land, klomar lirot b'kirban v'tochen levavam, to see what was inside of them, what was the content of their hearts. Eze sheterze lehitkarev aleha, who would want to come close to her, lishmoa devareha, to hear her words. Lahavdil, she's a missionary on a mission. Ki gam be'umot yesh eze neshamot shemukhsharin lekabel tahara, because among the nations there are those that are kosher, those souls that are kosher to receive purity. V'rotzin b'dvekut Yisrael, and they want to cling to Israel. Ki adua mirut, like we know from Ruth, v'sha'ar gerei tzedek, and all the other righteous converts, she'ba'odan b'giyotan hem mitlavim v'rotfim acharei b'nei Yisrael, that even in their state of being non-Jewish, they accompanied and they chased after b'nei Yisrael. Rachav is another one, the prostitute who in the book of Joshua. And Yitro would be another one. Ki adua mirut v'shar gerei tzedek. Oh, sorry, we just read that. Acharei b'nei Yisrael mipnei nitzutzei hakdusha, because of the holy sparks shebehem that were in them. U'betoch kach misaper hamikra b'shevach dina. And it's within this context that the Torah is telling us the beauty, the glory of Dina. Ki davka lirot hacha, because it was specifically to see that she went. Velo leheraot, and not to be seen, like the previous thing had mentioned, but didn't get into the details. She only wanted to see and not to be seen. Et atzma le'enei ha'amim, in the eyes of the nations, v'hasarim, and the ministers of the nations, et yofya, her beauty, ki tovat mar'ahi, because she was beautiful. V'gam lir'ot bivnot ha'aretz davka, and it was also to see in the daughters of the land specifically, v'lo chas v'shalom bivnei ha'aretz, and not in the men of the land. Ki tzedek tzidkat avoteha ha'gadoshim hayava, because the righteousness of her holy forefathers were in her, Mirosha ve'ad rogla, from her head until her feet, bilti lazuz yamin usmol, not to go left or right. Ve'Yaakov haya mitato shlema. There's an expression that Yaakov's bed was complete, as opposed to Avraham, who had a Yishmael, and Yitzchak, who had an Esav. Yaakov was complete. All of his children were kosher. Amazing, right? And then it gets a little but we're going to continue reading it. V'ulam, acharei kol zeh, hine hakatuv tzaveach ve'amar. However, after all this beautiful things that we had to say about Dina and her pure intentions in going out and everything that she wanted to accomplish and all that she could do, and actually here I'm going to pause just to say what she accomplished in the text itself, okay? So you know this, I hope you know the story of Dina. It's chapter 34, if you don't. She's raped by Shechem. And then Shechem falls in love with her. And Shechem sends her father to negotiate with Yaakov to find a way that he can marry her. Okay? So Yaakov and his sons come back from the fields, and obviously they can't let Dina stay in this village. So what I'm about to explain to you is according to the Ramban, his interpretation of what happened. So they come up with a plan that they think that Shechem... They don't just think, they know. How could it possibly be that these people would ever agree to this? And they say to them, you know, we circumcise all of our men. This is really not right that she is with an uncircumcised man. It's not something that we can tolerate. So, you know, if you all want to get circumcised, not just you, but all the men of your town, if the entire town, all the men, agree to be circumcised, then yeah, you can marry our sister. But if not, we'll just take our sister and leave. And also, think of the circumstances that if the people of Shechem really had proper intent, they would have brought Dina out with all of this negotiation. Instead, she's still being held captive in the palace. So they give this condition. They're willing to just leave without punishing them for raping their sister, if only they'll let her go. And then what do the people of Shechem say? Sure, we'll all circumcise. It's crazy. It's not what they expected. And that's why it ends up in this craziness of Shimon and Levi going in and killing the entire town on day 3 after their circumcision, because it wasn't supposed to go that way. And so what I'm going to say here, the Ramban doesn't say that, is why were they all willing to circumcise themselves? This is what we've been talking about this whole class, the power of Dina and her charisma and her outgoingness, and that she had this whole town in the palm of her hand, willing to accept the mitzvah. Crazy, right? So that's the power of Dina. And just hold in the back of your head what she might have been able to do for Esav as a result of that. Okay, so now let's read. This is the only negative side that I'm including in this shir about Dina. So he's quoting a pasuk from Tehillim that screams out to us, Kol kvoda bat melech pnima. All the honor of the daughter of the king is inside. Okay, so this is used a lot of times to show that women are modest, stay in the home. She'ein derech benot Yisrael hatsnuot latzeit chutza. It's not the way of the daughters of Israel, modest daughters of Israel, to go out. Ki im hem tzidkatam omedet la'ad, their righteousness stands forever. Aval zeh shemebikhut im yabit ba v'yerher tavar ma harei la'avon plili nichshav. If they look outside and they wonder about a thing, that becomes a criminal. It's considered a criminal sin. Gam aleihem liotam machshilim b'nei adam gam b'nei ish, both on them and the men that they serve as stumbling blocks for. Ukimase de haitana, and then he quotes a Gemara in Ta'anit that describes a rabbi who sees a gardener looking at his daughter. And the gardener says, well, if I can't marry her, at least let me look at her. And the rabbi then says to his daughter, Shuvi lo afrecha, go back to your dust. V'lo yikal shubecha b'nei adam, and don't be a stumbling block to people, to men. V'sara, shaita megayer tanashim, and even the example that he gave before of Sarah converting the women, harei na'amar alehe, it also says about her, hine ba ohel, she's in the tent. Shaita tsnu'a biyoter shelo yatzta lechutz ve'asta biyecholta beveita pnima. She was very modest. She was most modest, and she didn't go out, and she did with all whatever she could to be in the house, pnima, inside. Kasher yachla legayer hanashim, when she was able to convert the women, shebau etzla, they came to her. V'dina sheyatzta, Dina went out. Al kein vayara ta Shechem, and therefore Shechem saw her. V'nir'eh shezeh sheyiv shivcha devora. We see from this that Devorah, the Nevi'ah, praises Ya'el, Eshet Chaver, the wife of Chaver Hakini, who would have been descended from Yitro, by the way, the Kenim. And this is from Shoftim. Ve'amra Aleha, and Devorah in her song said about Ya'el, Minashim ba'ohel tivorach, you are more blessed than the women in the tent. Ve'amru Chazal, and the rabbi said in the Gemara and Nazir, Nashim be'ohel ma'ninha, who are these women in the tent? Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. She's better than all of them. Lechora, my malyuta bezel. What's the benefit of this? Mi arve imahot. How is she better than these four foremothers? V'umnam ki latzad shehi yatzta likrat Sisra. And also, she went out, Ya'el went out to call to Sisra. If you don't know the story, Sisra was the enemy of the Jews. He was the general. And Ya'el seduced him. Ya'el went out, called him into her tent, got him drunk. He fell asleep. She took the tent peg and killed him in the neck. Okay? And when we blow the shofar, they represent the cries of Sisra's mother as she's waiting for him to come back victorious from killing all the Jews. Okay? Vidina. So, Ya'el, sorry. Al Ya'el, Yishchabakini, Be'ohot, V'amru Chazal. Sorry, I lost my place. Hakatuv vateitse ya'el likrat. So it says, and she went out to call. Ve'afal piken, and despite the fact that she went out, astat shela b'shlemut, she did this properly. Ve'lo hizikla, and she was not damaged by going out of the tent, yitziatav, klal at all, v'klal. Alkein tivarachi menashim. Therefore, she's more blessed than the women. Shaitat tzitkatam rak ba'ohel v'lo b'chutz. The foremother's righteousness was just in the tent and not outside. V'umnam sham haita hayitzia muchrachat lahatzalat nefashot. Ya'el's going out was necessary in order to save lives, the lives of Israel. Alkein lo asa hayitzia etzla shum rosham. Therefore, her going out didn't provide any bad impression, Roshem Ra, Rak Adaraba, the contrary, Litov Beit HaMelech Upnima Ichashev. It was seen as good, because she went out of her tent to save lives. Dina was going out of her tent to convert people, not to save lives. Masha Inkim Bedina, Shehu Lahakshirat Benot Ha'arlim. Dina was going out to make kosher the daughters of uncircumcised men. Hena Amru Chazal. And that's why, now this was interesting. He's quoting a Gemara in Eruvin, but he's actually misquoting it. And I couldn't find any way that it was written the other way. So it says, Asur l'talmid chacham le'aved isura zuta. It's forbidden for a learned man to do a small forbidden thing. Ki hecha delo le'aved am ha'aretz isura rabba. So that an uneducated person would do a great sin. So look at our Gemara. It says, it is preferable to a chaver that he commit a minor transgression. It's saying he should do the minor sin. The Be'er Mayim Chaim said he shouldn't do it. And in this case, it's separating tithes from produce that is not adjacent to the produce they seek to exempt, so that an Am Haaretz will not commit the major transgression. So it is the opposite. So if he quoted it properly, it would have then given strength to Dina having gone out. So I don't know how to explain that, but that's interesting. Afkan lo haya nicha la kadosh baruch hu sheteave Dina isura zuta. So here too, it wasn't good for Hashem that Dina did this small forbidden act of going out. Kis vivav nisara me'od, and that's pasuk from Tehillim. Around him it storms furiously. Alkein vayara toshchem, and therefore Shem saw her. So that's the only thing I'm including that doesn't treat Dina as completely awesome, but he does in the beginning. And I loved it so much in the beginning, and I had to include the whole thing. Okay, so now this is a story in the Gemara about the gardener who sees her. So now to conclude, the conclusion is going to focus on Esav. We're going back to Esav again. So this is at the end of Parshat Toldot, when Esav marries. So Esav has already married two Canaanite women. He sees that Yitzchak and Rivka don't like it, especially when they send out Yaakov to find a wife from their family. So Esav then goes to marry Ve'yelach Esav el Yishmael. He goes to Yishmael, his uncle. Ve'yikachet Machlat bat Yishmael. And he marries Machlat bat Yishmael, ben Avraham, the son of Avraham, achot nevayot al nashav lolisha. Now it's important to see that he marries them. Oh, I didn't include the English, sorry. So this al nashav, he's already married to two Canaanite women. He does not divorce them. It says on top of his other wives to be a wife. So he does the right thing by marrying the daughter of Yishmael. But he does the wrong thing by not divorcing his other wives. And her name is Machlat here. Okay? Now, at the end of our parsha, which I already explained includes this whole genealogy of Esav, Esav lakach et nashav mibnot Kanan. So he took wives from the daughters of Kanan, et Ada bat Elon, hachiti. The Chitites are the ones that Avram bought the plot of land for burial from. Ve'at ahalivama bat Ana bat Sivon hachivi. The Chivites are the Shechem and Chamor. They're Chivites. So he didn't buy the greatest. He didn't marry the greatest from the greatest families. And then it says, Ve'et Bosmat bat Yishmael, Achot Nevayot. So she seems to have two names, Machlat and Bosmat. So Rashi there says, Elsewhere, scripture calls her machlat. I found in the Agadah of the Midrash on the book of Shmuel, I included a different one, there are three people whose iniquities are forgiven, mochlim. So machlat, mechila, mochel, means forgiven. One who converts to Judaism, one who is promoted to a high position, and one who marries. And this is actually why Jewish people wear white at their wedding, not because of virginity, but because your wedding is your own personal Yom Kippur, where you are completely erased all your sins. The proof of the last one is derived from here, machlat. For this reason, she's called machlat, because his Esav sins were forgiven. And then this is the Talmud Yerushalmi that is the same source for this. And it also explains, So this Midrash explains that she was called Bosmat. We're here. Shenit Basma Dato Alav. She became like perfumed, beloved to him. He loved her. And then it finishes this Midrash. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Ilu Hotziya Tarishonot. If he had gotten rid of his first Canaanite wives, Yafehaya, it would have been good. Ela Al Nashav. Rather, it was in addition to his already existing wives, Ke'ev Al Ke'ev, hurt upon hurt. Okay, so I think you guys can all see where I'm going with this, that maybe Yaakov really was wrong in withholding Dina. And we've proven through the actual storyline of Shechem, we've proven through Esav wanting to do the right thing, the daughter of Yishmael was not strong enough to get him to separate himself from his Canaanite wives, but maybe Dina would have been. And how much different would Jewish history have developed had Esav been allowed to marry Dina? And had Dina not been kept in a box? And this is where the Lubavitcher Rebbe came in. You can read it yourselves. It's really beautiful. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe says that we today need to make sure that outgoing women have a safe space to express themselves, to bring all of their blessings that they have of being able to influence people to the good, to bring that blessing into this world. And we need to embrace it and make sure that these amazing women have a space in the world, unlike Dina, who did not. And that's what he says. It's so beautiful. Okay, so hooray for Dina. I hope that you guys are as excited about this as I have been, and to imagine what could have been different, but also to imagine, as the Rebbe says, and as the world's opening up and as women have more and more influence in the world, what will become in the future as we embrace women's voices and as we allow ourselves to be influenced by all these amazing women in the world. Thank you.